Nam Sankirtan ki jai. Go Premanandi. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to some of the devotees. All glories to Shishi Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Gyana Timananda Shaganjana Shalakaya Takshamalitam Dina Tasma Shri Guruvedam Ambukam Kutubacha Lang Pongu Nong Hai Tegrim Yakri Badaram Bande Shri Gurum Dina Tadanam Banchakapa Chibius Chapi Pasinu Deva Chapatitanam Pavane Vaishnavi Yoda Modamaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Pavane Chananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare. So this is the last day of the seminar given by Brigapati Babu and myself. But tomorrow there's going to be another book distribution seminar right here, starting the same time, but mostly given to the Russian devotees. But it's given by Naveen Nirada Prabhu. He doesn't speak Russian. It'll be translated. So if you want, you can come and hear Naveen Nirada Prabhu speak, if you like. So this morning or this afternoon, I thought we'd discuss a little bit about how to respond to people when they give excuses. As we know, there's many excuses given to us why they can't take a book. One of the most common, of course, this will be interactive again. Say reasons or that they don't take books, and we can try to come up with ways that they can take a book. Of course, the most common that we get on book distribution is that, sorry, I'm not interested. Now, I gave an example yesterday of this person that I set up here. You're not, but here you are. But generally, people that aren't interested, it's difficult to get them interested. But sometimes they can. You can preach to them, you know, a little bit about the philosophy, and then find that they are interested. I remember in the airport one time, I approached one person, and he just flat out said, sorry, I'm not interested. But he stood there, so I just thought, all right, well, show it to him. So I explained a little bit about the philosophy, showed him the pictures. And then he said, actually, I'm really interested in this. He took the book and gave a nice donation. So sometimes immediately just the knee-jerk reaction when someone approaches another person is that I'm not interested. Because it just so many people approach for different reasons. So if someone just shoots right off, I'm not interested, don't think that's a no. You know, if they stand there anyway, try to explain the philosophy and they may find that they are interested. Again, purity is the force. Even someone's not interested, by the sincerity of the devotee, they can become interested. So, that's one thing that they come up not interested. Yes, I also mentioned how there's different, I don't know how you would say that. Don't be discouraged when people say they're not interested, because they may become interested. Yesterday we mentioned a little bit about other religions. People saying, well, I'm sorry, I'm a Christian or I'm Jewish or I'm Muslim. And I find that it works a lot. You know, just tell them, oh, no. We're not trying to change your belief. But there's always more to learn. So many people, Christians, Muslims, atheists, you know, so many people take books on that simple line and give nice donations because they become defensive. No, I'm of another belief. Oh, that's okay. No problem. We're not trying to change that belief. Always more to learn. And sometimes I ask them, so you read the newspaper, right? Say, I read the newspaper. So I tell them, you're probably going to get more from this book than you're going to get from a newspaper. Yeah. Good point. So, another thing that people say is, I don't have time. It's a common one, right? So I ask them, so how old are you? And if they say they're 20 years old or 25, 30, I tell them, well, you've probably got another 50, maybe 60, 70 years ahead of you. So right now you may not be interested, but you have so much time in front of you. And they take the book many times on that one. And sometimes they say, well, they say I don't have time means right now I don't have time. And so then I say, well, how about 30 seconds? All right. You got 30 seconds. So then you do a quick one. And they take the book on that one. So sometimes they say, well, I don't have time, meaning their life, or I don't have time now. So there's different responses you can make for that. Sometimes they say, well, I don't like to read. Vaisheshika Prabhu has a good response to that. He says, even if you don't read it, it will create auspiciousness in your life just by having it in your house. And sometimes people take the book on that one. It's a good one. Even if you don't read it, it will create auspiciousness in your life just by having it in your home. And he distributed a book to one lady in the airport, and she says, you know, that she gave that response, I don't read. So he gave that, he said that. And then she said, all right, I believe in, you know, the supernatural, so all right. So she took the book, and then she walked away, and she came back half hour later, and she said, hey, it's working. I got an upgrade on my flight. So it certainly does create auspiciousness in a person's life by taking Srila Prabhupada's book. It's actually, to have a book in someone's home is like having a deity in the home. Very, very auspicious. So we should try with as much sincerity as we can to get people to take books. But one thing I was thinking about is that when we're distributing books, we should try to do it in a very nice way. Srila Prabhupada, he said that book distribution is a very important service. But if people walk away disturbed by our tactics, then it can be a disservice. So how we deal with the people is also very important. And therefore, again, this sadhana bhakti is so important. It keeps us in a transcendental consciousness. And generally, the reason that we will disturb someone is because we're attached to the results, or just in the bodily conception in general. So we have to be very careful. And sometimes there may be on book distribution and you feel, I'm not in good consciousness. You know, sometimes we sense that. So what to do? You could sit down and read Srila Prabhupada's books, or maybe go and chant a round or two, try to purify your consciousness. There's different things that you can do to raise your consciousness. Pray to Krishna to get purified, to have the proper consciousness, like this. Anything else anybody could think of? You're in bad consciousness. So what can you do to to raise your consciousness. Chant Shikshashtaka, one devotee says. Yes. This is the mood of preaching Krishna consciousness. So sometimes when we're distributing books, they say, oh, the book is too heavy. You know, like a Bhagavad Gita or something. People are... Yes. So I tell them, this book is so heavy, it'll carry you. Oh, okay. You got me. They like that one. Sometimes people, they say, well, what is this? Is this religion? And a lot of people aren't so spiritual, so in other words, they're not interested if it's religion. So Prabhupada, I was listening to a lecture, Prabhupada said, this is not religion. This is a cultural presentation. So when they have this negative mood about, you know, is this religion, what is it? Because everybody likes, practically everybody likes culture. So no, this is a cultural presentation. And many times Prabhupada would say, this isn't religion. Because religion, it has such, it's, when people say religion, I mean, you're meaning like Christianity or some of these other so-called religions which are, have so much hypocrisy in them. So this is actually, this is Sanatana Dharma. It's the eternal religious principles. So it's not like anything that they have experienced before. And therefore, as soon as we say, if we say it's religion, then they lump it in with all the other so-called religions. But this is actually the Sanatana Dharma. Teachings, direct teachings of Krishna, and explained by the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. So it's quite different. Yeah. So is there any other things that anybody could think of? People, they come up with excuses why they can't take a book. A little interaction now. Did I cover everything there?
No money.
What to do? Well, if they don't have an ATM card, there's pretty much nothing we can do about that.
Yeah. A lot of times when they say that, they're lying. It's kind of annoying.
Yeah, use the microphone. Oh, here you go. Here you go. Here you go.
A lot of times when people tell you they have no money, really they're lying. They have money, but they feel it's kind of like a socially acceptable lie. Because they, you know, you're catching them off guard. They don't feel bad about it. And you're approaching them, and it, you know, that amount of self-defense, they just say no money. They actually have money, though, as I mentioned. And really, you just have to help them put their defenses down. I just say, don't worry. We're not actually selling these. We're just giving them to anybody who wants for a donation. And you just make it clear to them that there's no minimum. You know, they can get anything that they like if they're interested, if they want the book at all, and they're welcome to have the book. And a lot of people, you know, after hearing that, they relax and they end up giving you something. No money means that they just, I don't want to give you anything right now. But when you make them, you know, relax a little bit, and maybe get them a little interested, they, all of a sudden they open their wallet and they're lost.
Yeah, they feel like they don't want to purchase anything. And then, you, like you said, we're not selling it. We're just asking for donation. We're monks, you know, just spreading out this knowledge. So kind of relaxes them. All right. Yeah,
I believe sometimes they don't have change.
No change. Yeah. So we know what to say to that. We have change. No problem. That's an easy one. And that's another thing, is that sometimes I notice there's devotees that go out on book distribution and they don't have change. Myself, I always go out with at least $90 change. Because sometimes you meet somebody that has a $100 bill. And you don't have change, there goes that he probably would have taken a book and given a nice donation. So, I know there's devotees that go out on book distribution and don't have change. Everybody should have it. It's what you call a float. Always have change, just in case you meet that person that has a big bill. Very important. And when that does happen, you meet somebody that has a big bill and you don't have change, I mean, you're just like knocking yourself in the head. What did? Why don't I have some change out here, you know, so they can get a book? Yeah. Very important.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when it happened, but the English language is always changing. You know, you can go to read Shakespeare now, if you're in English, a lot of tough time understanding even what he's saying. And you go back another couple hundred years to Beowulf, you won't even be able to understand it. And even in my lifetime, I've seen the English language change. Somewhere around between 5 and 10 years ago, that expression, the meaning of that expression changed. I mean, when people say mostly, I don't have any change, what they mean is they're not carrying any cash. They're not talking about, you know, they're actually saying, they're telling you, I don't have any paper money. And that's what actually they mean. So when you say, I have change, they go, no, I don't have any bills, right? You've experienced that? So then you say, well, you know, we take plastic. Plastic's fine. You say, we got plastic, and they say, sure. And I say, well, you know, we probably just have credit cards, right? And they go, yeah. So we take a credit card. They go, are you going to take a credit card? Actually, some of us have machines where we can actually take credit cards. It's a wireless terminal or a card processor. And they're worth having because when you take them out and people can see that you're actually prepared to accept the credit card, they don't want to give you their credit card because you're too apprehensive. But then all of a sudden they find some change. And even if you can't get one of those, if you're too simple, won't do that with you. You can get these vouchers. It's just they, you know, what they did before they had these things. It's just like a, almost like a receipt.
Credit card paper.
Yeah. And then you just take those out, you keep them nicely, so when you pull them out, they look clean and they're not a problem and everything. And people, once again, same thing. When people see you're actually prepared to take their credit card information, and then they all of a sudden find some money. So that's something here in my karma.
Yeah, I also have these paper vouchers.
Yeah, it's a wireless credit debit machine. And I do 25% of my personal sales on just that wireless credit card. It only costs $300, and it's certainly available in America. I'm sure it's available in Europe too. And Australia too. I mean, they're only $300. You pay $25 a month, and you're doing 25% more sales.
Yeah, I do about $500 a month on credit card, and I don't have the machine. I just have the paper, and I just write down. Of course, I'm at a table, so people feel a little secure. Okay. Anything else on that? Yes, Prabhu.
Probably you were mentioning that this book, when you saw the books, people said that this is a religious book.
Yeah.
Then, as you said, you can say it is a cultural penalty.
Yeah.
But when they open the book, they see God and so many things written.
That's part of culture. God is definitely part of culture.
So it's difficult to convince that it is not a religious book.
No. Culture means to have knowledge of God, knowledge of nature, knowledge of the soul, knowledge of spiritual life. This is real culture. So we're trying to present real culture.
And also, sometimes, taking SSR, it is proposed that there is a true religion, others are cheating religion.
Ah. Yeah, there's, Real religion, right. Religion means to follow the laws of God, Prabhupada many times said. But you can't really say this to someone. If someone says, what is this religion? Generally, they're atheists. So we want them to take a book also. So we can take a book, we can get them to take a book on this angle, that it's a cultural presentation. And even if they find out later that, oh, it's about God, so what? They still get the book. They get the mercy. We didn't lie to them. It's a cultural presentation. And he also, Prabhupada would say, this is not religion, it's a science. It's a science of self-realization. Many times Prabhupada would say like that. So it's a bona fide response. Is this Hinduism? Generally, I tell them, no, this is, I just tell them straight out, this is Vaishnavism. Or also, I tell them, this is Hare Krishna. Because Hinduism is something that is so vague, no one knows what, I mean, even professors of Hinduism don't know what Hinduism is. It's so broad, and there's so much demigod worship, and this avatar and that avatar, and it's very confusing. So, of course, sometimes Prabhupada would say we're Hindus, and sometimes he would say we're not Hindus. Depends on the... But generally, when people hear Hindu, at least in the West, they think of the caste system, exploitation. So it's actually a negative connotation to say that we're Hindu. Although sometimes devotees say that we are, but we're not Hindus. Yeah. We're Vaishnavas. We're Hare Krishnas. We're proud to be Hare Krishnas. I heard that one time a devotee was distributing books, and a person asked, so, excuse me, is this Hare Krishna? And the devotee was just going around and around and wouldn't be direct. And finally the person said, no, listen, I like Hare Krishnas. Are you a Hare Krishna? Oh, yeah, I'm Hare Krishna. So we should be proud that we're Hare Krishnas. Yeah.
Or practicing Hinduism, when they say this is a book of Hinduism, then in SSR, in one of the chapters, in the beginning, Prabhupada is writing that many Indian things have been preaching Hinduism, but we are not preaching Hinduism.
Right.
I just told them to read that.
Yeah.
And then after reading, they're convinced.
Yeah. Thank you. Confirmed. Oh, another one is this Buddhism. Sometimes devotees also try to sell the books. Oh yeah, this is Buddhism or this is Hinduism. This is not Buddhism. Buddhists are atheists. They don't know anything about the soul. They don't know anything about God. So yeah, or sometimes they say this is Buddhism. No, this is not Buddhism. Although Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna. Sometimes we could show if someone is a Buddhist, you can actually, it's like Buddha came to trick the people who were not following religious principles into worshiping him. So he tricked them. So if someone is a Buddhist, they say, oh, I'm a Buddhist. Oh, then you open it up, though, if you have the Bhagavad Gita, you can open it up and say, oh, here's a picture of Buddha. And I tell them, this is Buddha's language, Sanskrit. So yeah, I give these a lot of Buddhists, you'll appreciate it. Yeah, like that. So they take the book. And this way, Buddha's continuing to trick them. Yes, Parameshwar.
One more thing I have in my regular, whatever, mantra that I teach people that solves all that problem, that always comes up, and you can tell it's weighing on their consciousness, is just say these are the original writings. We don't make a religion out of it, it's a science. And people really, tremendously, because the relief just goes off their mind, you can see, and then you hear many comments like, wow, I really appreciate that. And we just distribute the original writings as they are. We're monks, we just transmit the original writings as they are. We don't contaminate, we don't make a religion out of it. No false position of the consciousness, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, okay. Because that's one of their worries.
Right.
And we don't sell them.
Right. Very good, yeah. Very good, very good. Anything else on this? The Ruski. Translation. So translate.
Some say that they already have a book.
Some people say they already have a book. Okay. So this is why we have many books. So if someone has a book already, we could tell them, okay, well here we have this, we have another book. It's always nice to have other books so they can get some variety. Yeah, Prigapati. Does somebody have a clock or a watch that I can borrow?
Recently, the BBT, at least the North American BBT, brought out a really nice Krishna book. I mentioned it the first day. It's one volume. It's very beautifully done. Nice pictures in it. And
thank you.
I was thinking, this book is going to be so difficult to sell. I took it out one day, and I did find it very difficult to sell. But recently, I started taking out just a few of them every day, like, you know, half a dozen. And I found it. it comes in really handy in this exact situation. People tell me, oh, I've got the Bhagavad Gita, you know, and they take out the Christian book and I say, well, here, this is the next book to read. Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna. Krishna book here, this is the biography of Krishna. And it's really beautifully done. I just open the book, sells itself. I open the book, I show them the pictures, and a lot of people take it and get a nice donation. And I'm generally now doing like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 Krishna books a day, in addition to whatever other videos I do. So it's really, you know, Vijay said, a really good idea to have another book to put with you. And also, in this relation to the Bhagavad Gita, sometimes people can be objectionable with it. It's too big. So it's also a good idea to have some soft cover Bhagavad Gita with you. Because a lot of times, if I get that objection, people say, well, that's too big. You know, they don't want to take the hardcover. And I whip out the paperback Bhagavad Gita and say, well, here's the travel copy. And a lot of times that does the trick. They just go, you know, they see it's about half the size, half, less than half the weight, and they take that, and they give a donation for that. So it's a good idea to, you know, have that variety out there with you. You've got to come prepared, in other words.
Thank you. Yeah, I tell them the Bhagavad Gita, this is part one, this is Krishna book, this is part two. Okay, so yeah, get the set. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, Parameshwar.
I got a really common objection that I don't think has been addressed, and that is, oh, I'm Indian, I already have that. I'm Indian, I already have that book.
Oh.
I already know all about this. And honestly, I've never seen anybody be more successful in counteracting that than our good hero, Bhakta Mike here. And maybe he's willing to give a demonstration. And he gets like 9 out of 10 Indians to take a Bhagavad Gita after that objection.
Uh-huh.
I'm not kidding. It's
okay. Back to Mike, what do you say? Give the mic to Back to Mike.
I say, hi, I'm a brahmachari. You heard of ISKCON? Like, everybody knows what ISKCON is, like in India.
Uh-huh.
So I just say, we just get these out to everyone. They say, I have already once in a while. Maybe you can give it to someone else. And they think that's a good cause. So.
Yeah. Okay, very good. Yeah, also what I do with Indians when I have the Bhagavad Gita, I really get them, you know, we have the Das Avatars picture. So I get them into it, you know, who's that? You know, Ramachandra, and that's Nrisingadeva. So I get them into it. They sometimes it gets the whole family into it. And they just get fired up, you know, yeah, and then they just get so inspired. Yeah, I'll take one, yeah. So kind of get them involved in the Bhagavad Gita. And I also tell them that we're monks, and we're helping a lot of people in suffering conditions. We're distributing the essence of Hindu Dharma. And this is one time you could use the Hindu thing, because they really feel they're Hindus. And of course, after they read the Bhagavad Gita, they won't, but this is a way to use that word. We're distributing the essence of Hindu Dharma, and we're just asking all the pious Hindus to give a donation. And they want to be pious Hindus. So they take a book a lot of times. Is this a cult? This is a culture. Generally people that aren't so bold as they say, is this a cult? Where does the money go? Someone might say, well, the money goes to print more books, and we also have monasteries that we maintain. And sometimes even tell them, I'm a monk, whatever you give over the cost, that goes for my maintenance. So they like to give for that reason also.
Sometimes people say, I already get a book, but I understand anything.
Uh-huh. Well, patience. Just try again some other time. Take another book and try again another time. Okay, this is the last one, then we'll have some stories. Yeah.
Fantastic for also speaking that only for Jesus you can come to heaven.
Yeah. When they say that, tell them have a nice day. It's been nice talking to you. You have a nice day. Just get away from him. That's fanaticism. Eh? So there's another.
I
want
to tell that I want to ask my wife.
You have to ask your wife. Wow. I've never come across that one. I don't know what to say on that one. You have to ask your wife to go to the bathroom? I don't know about that one. So this is another thing. Sometimes we're on book distribution and people come and harass us, give us a hard time, right? I remember that used to happen quite a bit in the airport in Miami, that people would come and harass us. So what I would tell them is I'd tell them, sir, can you do me a favor and just wait right here while I go get the police? And they're going to have a word with you. And then I walk away real fast. Then I walk for about 30 seconds, I turn around, and they're gone. You know? And we had, I remember there was this one guy, he was harassing us so much, and we just couldn't get rid of the guy. The thing I just told you didn't work, he still stayed there and harassing devotees. So I went over, and we had one policeman in the airport who was very favorable to us, undercover. He's actually an undercover cop. So I told him what this guy was doing, so he told me, yeah, show me this guy. So we're walking together back to this guy that was harassing us. And this guy that was harassing us, he goes up to the person, to the undercover cop, and says, hey, don't buy a book from them, there's a bunch of rip-offs. So then my friend, the undercover cop, pulls out his badge, and he says, if you harass these people anymore, you're in jail. And the guy just went, my guy just like, oh, sorry, I just like took off. So it was interesting. So there's another instance there was three ladies distributing books in America. And two of them were distributing alone, and the Sankirtan leader was in another area. So this happened, that this person came and was harassing these two ladies. They were kind of like new devotees. So they went over to this senior lady, the Sankirtan leader, and they said, you know, this person over here, he's harassing us a lot. We can't distribute. You got it? You following? You got it? No. So these two ladies, well, there's three ladies. Two of them are working by themselves. Another, the Sankirtan leader, she's working separate. And the two ladies that are by themselves, they were being harassed. You understand? Harassed by this man. So they went over to the Sankirtan leader, and they complained that this person has given us a hard time. We don't know what to do. So she said, I'll take care. Prabhu, it's okay, because I have the microphone here. Put that back. So she said, the Sankirtan leader said, all right, you two go somewhere else, and I'll deal with this person. So she would approach people, and sure enough, this guy would come and say, yeah, don't give him a book. These guys are cold. It's a rip-off. And then she had an idea. The next person that came, she told the person, you see that man over there? That's my uncle Kamsa. And we're doing something called reverse psychology. So what he's going to do, he's going to come over here while we're speaking. And whenever I ask for a donation, he's going to tell you, don't give a donation. And when he says that, that's when you give more. Okay? So she's talking, the person comes over, and she's asking for a donation. He says, don't give a donation. So that's when they start giving more donations. Don't give a donation. Yes, she started giving more donations. So this went on a few times. Good old Uncle Kamsa, yeah. So what happened is this person was just amazed that this lady could reverse the situation. So he came over, and he was kind of like, he was amused. He said, you know, I'm really impressed about how you switched the thing. And she started talking to him and actually explaining about the book. The guy ended up buying a book from her. I mean, that shocked him. So that's one way to deal with people that are harassing. One time, a devotee, or actually one reporter, asked Srila Prabhupada, what do you get from this chanting? And Prabhupada responded that you get more chanting. So sometimes people also, even devotees, ask, what are we getting from this book distribution? You know, so hardly anybody is becoming devotees. But what we get from book distribution is also more book distributors. And even if they don't become book distributors, Prabhupada said they just touch a book, they get advancement just by touching the book. They read one line, it could change their life. So many things Prabhupada has said. So we shouldn't have any doubt about the importance of this book distribution. It's an all-around favorable activity. Many years ago, there was a devotee in Australia that was distributing books in Brisbane. And this person from China bought a Bhagavad Gita. And he took it home and he was very inspired by the Bhagavad Gita. So he found the address in the back of the book of the Brisbane temple. And he sent $6,000 to the temple out of appreciation of the service that the devotees were doing. So the devotees were like amazed. $6,000, that's amazing. So they sent a letter, a thank you note, you know, for giving such a nice donation. And the letter was written so nicely that he sent another $4,000 to the devotees. And they were just like, they just like couldn't believe it. So this time they thought, this person is so special. They sent him another note inviting him to the temple because they have a gift for him due to his nice service attitude. So he came to the temple and they gave him the Srimad Bhagavatam said, Chaitanya Charitam, they gave him all the books. And then he was very appreciative of that, of course. And he happily took all the books and when he was leaving, oh, here, this is for you. He gave a letter, $8,000 in the letter. So then he went home and he was reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he sent another $6,000. So he just got this one Bhagavad Gita, paperback Bhagavad Gita, ended up giving $26,000. Because he's just so inspired. So it's not over yet. His father found out that he had given $26,000 to the devotees, so he contacted his lawyers. And he wrote a letter to the devotees saying that you have to give this money back. My son was not in good state of mind. I have a lawyer on this. So don't be too attached to that $26,000. So the devotees are thinking, oh God, I can't believe it. Yeah. Something so nice is becoming bitter now. So what happened is this person, he was going back to his... he was on a flight back to his country in China. And the plane crashed, and he died. So I guess Krishna didn't want that Lakshmi to be taken back. And this person that was given the donations, he took initiation just about a year ago. Yeah, so he's now a full-on devotee. So this is in Australia, Brisbane, Australia. Amazing. Another time there was a... devotee distributing books, and she approached this person and she had a stack of books and the person was holding the books, all these books, and then she said, well, everyone just gives a donation. And he said, well, my hands are full, I can't. So she said, oh, don't worry about it. So she reached in his pocket and pulled out the wallet and pulled out all the money and then put the wallet back in his pocket. And a policeman came up and he said, excuse me, what's going on here? He said, oh, he's just giving a donation. And he said, and the policeman asked this person, is everything okay here? He said, do you need any? I see that she took all your money. Do you need any money? He said, well, I do need a little bit of money for the train. I got to take the train back. And the police said, can you just give him enough for the train so he could take the train back? And she said, yeah, sure, no problem. So she gave some money back. This is in New York City. So he took all the books and she took all the money except for the train fare. And that person's name is Chandamouli Swami. That's the devotee that gave the donation and took the books. And this lady's name is Divi Shakti. Very powerful book distributor. She's still distributing books. And there's another instance also where she was distributing books. And this person came by her. He had already gotten a small book, and he was very impressed with the book, and he wanted to get some more books. So he knew there was Hare Krishnas in New York City in one area, so he was walking by, and he wanted to be approached by this devotee, but she could sense that something's up, so she just let him go by. And then he couldn't figure out why she didn't stop him, so he walked by again. And again, she didn't stop him. And then he just walked right up to her, and she said, "What are you up to?" She said, "What are you up to? What do you want?" He said, "I want the fifth canto. I've already got the first, second, third, fourth. I want the fifth canto." He said, "Well, I don't have it here. You have to go to the temple to get the fifth canto." And, "Oh, no. You're not going to get me to go to the temple." Mm-mm. So then she said, "Well, listen. At least you can give a donation for the temple. We're doing some renovation on the temple, so maybe you can give a donation." He said, "I don't have my checkbook on me." "That's okay, we can go to your apartment. You can give a donation." He thought, "Oh my God, I can't believe it. All right. And he goes to the apartment. They have a high riser. So he told him, "You just wait here, I'll come back with my checkbook." So he comes down. And he says, "Listen, I'm only going to give you $500. No, you have to give $2,000. "Oh God, all right." So he gave $2,000. Didn't even take a book. That was Devamrita Swami. He was a Devamrita Swami. That's how he gave his first big donation.
It wasn't the fifth canto though. He joined the same time as me. The fifth canto didn't come out for another.
Oh, maybe it's something else. Yeah, something else. That's what I heard anyway. So many amazing things happen on book distribution. So another thing is that while we're distributing books, what we're doing is we're trying to wake them up. You know, people now, they have amnesia. They don't know who they are. You understand this word amnesia? So people have forgotten. It's just like, you know, people knock their head or something, they just forget who they are. So this actually happened in California, in Southern California. One student, he was riding his bike down the street, and somehow he fell down. And when he got up, he didn't know who he was. Had no idea who he was, what he was doing there, who his family was. Nothing, zero. So he's just walking around the streets, just wondering, what am I going to do now? So fortunately, he came in contact with a devotee. And the devotee was trying to approach him and trying to sell him a book. And he says, "Well, I don't have any money on me. You know, I don't even know who I am." And the devotee said, "Well, I'll tell you who you are. You're an eternal servant of Krishna." And he said, "Well, at least I know something now." So he started telling him about Krishna. And he liked this devotee, so he actually moved in with the devotee, and he started telling him more about Krishna and about himself and about material nature, and just telling him the whole philosophy. He lived with him for actually many weeks. And then this devotee told him about the temple in Los Angeles. So he went to the temple in Los Angeles and became a bhakta there and became a book distributor. And now he's been distributing books for how many years now? 7 years? Only Omkar? It's about 4 years. So he's one of the biggest book distributors. Actually, he won the marathon. This last marathon, I think, in books. No? Yeah, in books. He gave away the most books. So that's Omkar Das. So sometimes, actually, believe it or not, I think he was an atheist before. Before he got the amnesia, he was an atheist. So then Krishna just made a great arrangement for him to forget that he's an atheist and learn about Krishna and became a theist. Hare Krishna, yeah. Became a book distributor propagating theism. Yeah. Krishna has an amazing sense of humor. So There's an instance also of a person who was distributing books. This lady was distributing books in Europe, and she approached one person, and the person said, "You know, I'm interested in this, but I don't have any money, so I'll come back." Okay. Now, how many times has that happened to us? Right? I'll be back. I'll come right back. You know, like, you know, I don't know. 19 out of 20 times, you never see them again, right? Maybe more. So the lady thought, oh yeah, right, okay, we'll see you later. So 2 days later, this Mataji, she's going door to door, and she knocks on one door, and this same person answers the door, and he said, oh, you're here. You know, I went back, and you weren't there. And she said, well, I'm here now. So you can get it now. I said, okay, yeah, very good. So he bought a few books, about 4 books. Very happy. And then she, about 3 years later, she went to the temple there in the area, and this same person was at the temple, shaved up, brahmachari, became a devotee. And he's the one that compiled this book, Nectar of Book Distribution. He's the one that compiled that book. So, kind of inspiring incident there of how gradually people take up Krishna consciousness. And also, yesterday we were speaking about the determination that a devotee should have to distribute books. We have this example of Radhanath Das. I told you his legs were amputated. So there's other devotees in our society that also show great determination to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. In Russia, there's a devotee that has no arms, and he distributes books. And he has a backpack, and he approaches people, and he tells them about the books, and he tells them, you know, I can't get the book out, you'll have to get the book out. So they go in the back, and they open up the book, and they're looking through it, and he's telling them about it, and he just says, yeah, I'm a monk, we just ask for donation. You just put the donation right there. He has no hands, no arms. He does quite well. He's one of the biggest book distributors in Russia. So there's no impediment for distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. You just have to have determination. And there's another devotee in Russia that distributes books, and he's blind. Yeah, I don't know how he does that. I mean, I haven't been. Nobody told me how he does that. Maybe you can explain how he distributes books and he's blind. Excuse me. Oh, he goes with somebody else. He always goes with somebody else. I see. So they help him along there. He still distributes books? There's also devotees on wheelchairs that are distributing books. So yeah, there's no impediment if someone is determined to distribute books. And I also had an instance in the airport in Los Angeles. I was distributing, and I approached one lady, and she said, oh, Hare Krishna, right? I said, yeah, Hare Krishna. She said, you're going to be amazed by this. I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. And one of the things that Jehovah's Witnesses do is that they criticize other religions so that you don't go to another religion. And she said the religion that they criticized, that they knocked the most, was Hare Krishna. That they're just, it's idol worships, and it's a cult, and the guru gets all the money that the people are collecting, and just criticized in different ways. And she said they were criticizing the Hare Krishna so much that I was thinking, maybe there's actually something there. Maybe there's something good there, because they're putting so much attention on Hare Krishna. So she got a science of self-realization, and she said this made more sense than anything else I had ever seen before. So she became very attracted to Krishna consciousness, And she had read in the Science of Self-Realization about the Bhagavad Gita. So I had a Bhagavad Gita, and she said, "Wow, you have a Bhagavad Gita. I've been wanting this Bhagavad Gita for so long." So she got the Bhagavad Gita, and we were both laughing about how ironic it is that they were trying to keep her away from Hare Krishna so much, but now she's practically become a Hare Krishna herself. So this is the mercy of Krishna. So, there's one other thing I wanted to mention, is that there is one officer in the army, and he noticed that there were some of the people under him that had these books that are written in Sanskrit, and he started asking, "Hey, what are these books about?" So the devotees would explain a little bit about it to him, and then one of them they gave him a Bhagavad Gita, and he thought, "All right, let me check it out." So he put it in his office, and maybe a couple of weeks later, one of the devotees asked, "So, are you reading the Bhagavad Gita?" He said, "Oh, I don't have any time." So, well, they encouraged him more to read it, and then he opened it up and he started reading it a little bit, and he finished the Bhagavad Gita, but he only read the translations. He didn't read the purports. So at night, one night he's sound asleep, and Prabhupada comes to him in a dream and says in perfect Russian, "It's okay, you can also read the purports too." So that devotee is Achala Prabhu. Stand up, Achala. Stand up. Stand up. This is Achala. He was an officer in the military, in the Russian military, during the communist. It was communist period, yes? It was during the communist period. So he got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. I think that might be the only time Prabhupada spoke Russian. So on. So thank you very much, Hare Krishna. So now.
Yeah, I just have a few things to say, so we'll have time for some audience participation after I finish my brief little thing here. So you can kind of, if you have some story you want to share or some question you want to ask, you can start getting ready. So yesterday, right at the end, a devotee asked us what inspires us to distribute Srila Prabhupada's book. So that's a very important question. And I was thinking about that a bit more. And I just want to elaborate upon the answer I already gave, that we know the goal in Krishna consciousness is to be, you know, pure devotional service. And another way of saying that is to be recognized by Krishna. So as I mentioned, Prabhupada said on more than one occasion, he said to be very quickly, not just to be very quickly recognized by Krishna, preaching is the shortcut process. So that's something, you know, worth meditating upon. That this is a service that really facilitates us progressing towards the goal, you know, of life, which is pure devotional service, in a very significant way. And Prabhupada saw this service as a very exalted service. On one occasion, actually, it was in Atlanta, 1975, when Prabhupada met with the book distributors. A devotee made this comment to Prabhupada. She said, "Srila Prabhupada, we can become self-realized just by distributing your books." And this was Prabhupada's response. Okay, he said, actually, it was Tripurari. He said, "Just by distributing your books, we can become self-realized." So Prabhupada said, "You are already self-realized. Otherwise, how can you push on the books? You love Krishna, therefore you are taking so much labor for pushing on. And that is self-realization. If anyone tries to establish that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, that is self-realization." So that was Prabhupada's estimation of the status of somebody who was trying to spread Krishna consciousness. He saw them as a a self-realized person. So it's a very, you know, very fortunate to have this service. And then Tripurari went on to say, he said, sometimes the devotees ask if they can take birth again, distributing books for you. And this was Prabhupada's response to that. He said, very good. That is real devotion. Devotees do not want to go to Vaikuntha or get any liberation. They are satisfied with the service. That is pure devotion. Distributing books for the benefit of going to Krishna, that is selfishness. But if one thinks, I simply want to distribute the books without any remuneration, that is a pure devotee. Just like Prahlad Maharaj says, I do not wish to go to Vaikuntha unless I take all of these rascals with me. That is a pure devotee. He is always under the protection of Krishna. What is the use of going to Vaikuntha? Wherever he stays, that is Vaikuntha. That is pure devotional service. Mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatsad bhaktir hoitiki tvayi. Life after life, I may go on with this business. I don't want anything else. That is pure devotion. So of course, I guess that's the perfectional platform. That's, you know, it's about as high up as it gets there. And something to aspire for, but not artificially try to be on that platform. I mean, Prabhupada also does say in the Bhagavad Gita, in that verse in the 8th chapter where it's describing Krishna's abode, he says, one should be captivated by this information and you should seek out a society of devotees and learn how to execute devotional service and try to go back to Godhead as quickly as possible. So that's also there. But anyway, Prabhupada did say this on this particular occasion. So I was thinking, just meditating a little bit on, you know, what can I, so many wonderful things have been said about book distribution, practical things and things about the philosophy. Just what's the specific contribution I can make? So I was meditating on my situation that, I've been distributing books for a long time, relatively speaking. I started in 1973 and with the exception of a few years when I was doing some management in Australia and New Zealand, I was a temple vice president and president for a while. This has been my full-time service. And basically I go out, I kind of, went over my, did some calculations the other day from the statistics from the last, say, 13 years. I go out on an average 5.5 days a week. And I'm a grihastha. So, these are two, I thought this was significant because a lot of devotees think, this is saying maybe Sankirtan is something you could do for a while, but not a long time. And also, maybe a lot of devotees think, it's not something you could do as a grihastha. But I guess I beg to differ because I think, if you want to, as Vijay said, the determination is the important thing. You can do Sankirtan for a long time and you can do Sankirtan as a grihastha. As far as the long time part of it goes, these were the things some points I made that I think have helped me go on for a long time. One is, you get a book like this. I held it up the other day, but my wife told me I neglected to mention the name. It's called The Nectar of Book Distribution. And it's, I don't know if it's still in print or if it's available. It's not. But anyway, you and Vice Cheshire are coming out with a... we're in the process of coming up with an equivalent book. Vaisheshika and Vijay Prabhu are in the process of producing a book that's like this. It'll has all the important statements that Prabhupada made about book distribution and probably some realizations of devotees who are doing Sankirtan now and have also things to add to it. So this is a very valuable resource. And what I do is I read this, I've read this book many, many times and I just pick out some, certain statements that are particularly meaningful that and really resonate with my, soul, so to speak. And I sometimes I'll go on the database, I'll find where they are there, then I'll print them out, I'll laminate them, and I go as far as to actually carry it around with me on Sankirtan. So I can just be constantly reminded of, Prabhupada's words emphasizing the importance of Sankirtan. And that helps a lot. Another thing that helps a lot is to have inspirational association. You don't have to every day be going out, but just with somebody who inspires you. But at least at some point, it's good to take some time to just get the association of somebody who that you admire, that you would like to become like, and see him in action too. And it has a great impact on your consciousness. I actually mentioned Vijay was in that category for me when I came back to Los Angeles in 1996. I was the bhakta leader to start off with, but when I was watching Vijaya in action, it just kind of jolted me, and I decided, now I got to do Sankirtan again. So, you know, it's very powerful, the proper kind of association. And the general principle is, if you want to do Sankirtan for a long time, you have to make it your top priority. And you have to adjust your life in such a way that everything revolves around you doing Sankirtan. You know, the way you eat, the way you sleep, everything. And that's also very important. Another an important consideration, especially as you get older, none of you might be able to relate to this so much now, or maybe you can, but certainly as the years go on, you will. Health is a significant thing. It's very, you know, I don't know how somebody like Jai Pataka Maharaj does it. I know me, when I don't feel well, it's very hard for me to get out there and do my service. I mean, I certainly it's just about impossible to be enthusiastic about it, and it's even hard to get yourself out there. I mean, I'm not just, you know, there's certain devotees that are just somehow or another, they're on another level of determination. Like, I mean, I can't even conceive of what Jai Pataka Maharaj is doing now, you know. But on the point of health, okay, Prabhupada said to Shruti Kirti on more than one occasion, and this is written in his book, it's called What is the Difficulty, book by Shruti Kirti, said Prabhupada said three things were keeping him alive: his morning walk, the massage, and Ayurvedic medicine. And Shruti Kirti described in that book that Prabhupada took a morning walk when he was his servant, minimum 1 hour, walking very briskly, and also he had a massage every morning after you know, after the class and breakfast, and the massage lasted for like an hour and a half. And sometimes, by the way, as I said, the walk was 1 hour minimum. Sometimes Prabhupada walked for longer, according to Shruti Kirti. So that, you know, and then the massage. And then he took another massage in the evening, and that went for like a half hour, you know, until he fell asleep. So if you add that, the two together, Prabhupada had, you know, 3 hours of, you know, sort of on his body there between walking and the massage. He didn't talk about it, you know, because he didn't want to distract us, and he wanted us to stay focused on pure devotional service. But he did it. And, you know, as that expression, action speaks louder than words. So Prabhupada did it. He didn't neglect his body. You know, he didn't, as I said, once, you know, there was that classic pastime where devotees were walking down, I think it was Juhu Beach, and they saw some people standing on their head. And the devotees started laughing, and they said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, look at the Muddhas standing on their head like that." And Prabhupada said, "No, that is not, Muddha means foolish." Prabhupada said, "No, that is not foolish. That is very healthy. Shirasana." You know, so the devotees were quiet, and they thought, "Oh, that's interesting, you know." So then they asked Prabhupada, as the walk progressed, they asked Prabhupada, "Does that mean, you know, we should do that?" And Prabhupada realized he was being baited, you know, because if Prabhupada would have said, "Yeah, that's good, do it," then we would have turned practically into a hatha yoga society, you know, because we have a natural attraction for that, you see. So Prabhupada walked, just before he got in his car, he turned, they looked at everybody and said, "Not required." And he closed the door and he drove off. You know, he didn't want to encourage that. So, you know, on the one hand, Prabhupada didn't want to encourage us to become more bodily conscious than we already were. But at the same time, you know, he did want us to take care of our bodies. So anyway, getting back to the point, Prabhupada said those are the three things that were keeping him alive: his walk, massage, and some Ayurvedic medicine. Prabhupada took Triphala, which is some sort of like a digestive aid, on a regular basis. There's letters where he asks devotees to send it from India. And something else, Lavan Bashkar, something like that, which I don't know what that is even. But so anyway, the point is, you could do, I actually do two of those things anyway. I walk every morning, and I take some Ayurvedic medicine, and it makes a real big difference for me. It just helps me feel like a normal human being, as opposed to, you know, somebody who's just dragging themselves around. And it helps me do my service. It helps me, you know, keep going year after year, because when you feel healthy, it's you know, it's, you look forward to a challenge. You look forward to, you know, getting out there and going to work and doing your service, as opposed to kind of dreading it and suffering all day long. So it's an important consideration to take care of your health. And and as far as the grihastha part of it goes, Prabhupada said the brahmacharya is the preferred ashram. You know, it's if you can stay brahmachari, if you can stay single, not brahmacharya or brahmacharini, that's better. You know, it's better for your Krishna consciousness. For so many different reasons. You know, you're able to focus more time and energy on your sadhana and becoming Krishna conscious. You know, you don't have demands being placed on your time and your energy. But it's not the end of the world if you enter into the Grihastha ashram. I've been a Grihastha now. I was since 1983. So what's that? 25 years. My first 10 years I was a brahmachari, and I've been doing book distribution more or less, you know, except for about 3 years all of that time. You can do it. It's not impossible. It's not like, you know, you're disqualified as soon as you enter the Grihastha ashram. But the point is, you have to be prepared to live simply. You know, if you have to have, you know, internally just make that commitment that you're prepared to live simply. You know, you're not worried about owning a house or owning anything for that matter. You know, you have to be prepared. You have to be renounced. You have to be in a renounced mood that, you know, you're okay as long as you have, you know, food to eat, clothes to wear, and a place to lie down where you're warm enough or, you know, cold enough to sleep at night, you know, as the case may be. You're okay. You know, you don't need more than that. And you have to have a partner who understands that and is agreeable to that. And it's a good idea to kind of, you know, work that out before you get married, if you're planning on getting married, so you don't get, neither one of you get surprised afterwards. Because it's not the kind of thing somebody wants to be surprised by, to find out that they're going to, you know, live like that if they don't really want to. So, but once if you have that established, you know, you can be a book distributor as a Grihastha. And one other thing that's helpful is to try to find a place, a base, where you're going to be supported. It's unfortunately, you know, the truth of the matter is there are some places that are more supportive of book distribution than others. So it is helpful to be in a place, a community or a temple that's supportive of book distribution, where the leaders appreciate that activity and they want to promote it. Like I'm based in Los Angeles, New Dwarka, and our temple president is Swabas Prabhu, who is also the BBT trustee. He's very supportive of book distribution. And, you know, for not just myself, but there's, you know, several other devotees who are distributing books. And when he sees somebody's very sincere and serious and very committed to doing that, then he's arranged nice facility to help us, to make it, you know, conducive for us to try to dedicate ourselves into a career of distributing books. So that's an important factor too. That's pretty much it. On doing it for a long time, and even as a Grihastha, those are the things that came to my mind as the most important considerations. Would anybody like to ask a question about any on this particular thing of doing Sankirtan for a long time and doing it as a Grihastha? As I said, that's something I kind of know something about because I've been doing both those things. Okay. Oh, Parmeshwar Prabhu.
You told me to read these six Goswami Astika every day. Sorry, Goswami Astika every day. Maybe you can mention something about that because I found it to be a huge help.
Okay, well, I heard years ago that Srila Prabhupada told Rita Nanda Maharaj that if he wants to become a Goswami, he should chant that prayer every day. You should, you know, learn that and chant that every day. So that was my first thing I heard about that. And also I was back when I was in Australia for 11 years, and I was at that time a temple co-president or vice president or something like that. I wasn't doing Sankirtan for a while there. And it was the marathon, and they told me I had to go out on the marathon. So we used to go traveling Sankirtan, so I was sent out there, and on the first day when I started doing Sankirtan, I just felt overwhelmed. I didn't, because I hadn't been doing it for a while, and it seemed very difficult. So I went back to the car after trying for a half hour or 45 minutes unsuccessfully, and I just sat down in the car. It was the first day of the marathon. It was a month-long marathon, and back in those days, you were expected to go out there and work hard and produce, you know. It was under a lot of pressure. So I sat down in the car and I thought to myself, well, what the heck am I going to do? Man, here's the first day of the marathon and I'm already psyched out. You know, I was kind of like, what am I going to do? And I didn't know what to do. And I looked in front of me and on the dashboard of the car was a book. It just so happened it was the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ancha Lila, Volume 1. So I thought, well, anyway, I might as well read a little bit, see if that helps, you know. So I opened it up And I read, and I think it was the second or third or fourth verse in that, the first chapter. It goes, Echai Goshai Kore Charana Vandan Yaha Hoite Bignanash Abhishta Paran. This is Krishnanath Kaviraj Goswami speaking. He says, I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanan Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Jiva Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami, for by remembering their lotus feet, by offering them respects and remembering their lotus feet, all obstacles, devotion are destroyed, and the transcendental desire for devotional service to the Supreme Lord is fulfilled. Something like that. So I read that, and in the purport, Prabhupada elaborated upon that same point, you know, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was making in the translation. So I read that, and I thought, okay, well, anyway, let me try that. And so I just decided, I got out of the van again, the vehicle, and went back, and I just decided, okay, I'm just going to start praying to the six Goswamis for their mercy, because all impediments will be annihilated and all devotional desires will be fulfilled. So I didn't know this prayer to Cisco Swamis at that point, so I just started chanting, Bande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yago Shri Jiva Gopalako, like that, over and over again. And lo and behold, somehow or another, I don't know, Krishna's, I guess, appreciated that. People started taking, you know, and I started doing good. Actually, then I had the songbook with me. I went on to learn that song straight away, and I started chanting the whole song. And I actually went on to win that marathon. So that was my experience there, you know. I tried to follow that instruction, take shelter of the six Goswamis and pray for their mercy. And all impediments were annihilated, and that my devotional desire for, you know, transcendental service was fulfilled. So I had practical realization, you know, of doing that and having it work. So I always recommend that to other devotees to do that. It's a very helpful thing for Sankirtan and devotional service in general.
Just wondering if you can give some tips how to encourage Kriyas to the congregation members to get on the bandwagon and do some book distribution.
Well, one thing that comes to my mind, I guess this is appropriate today too, because today is the disappearance day of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. And he was, maybe some of you know, some of you might not know, back in the 70s in America, we had, he started a Sankirtan party. It was called Radha Damodar. It started off with just, he purchased a Greyhound bus, and they converted it into a traveling temple. It was him and Vishnu John. And they used to go to different college campuses and things like that, and they used to, you know, do bhajans and, you know, kirtan and distribute some prasadam and distribute some books. Anyway, it kind of caught, it grew. They made devotees, and as the program became, you know, as they made more and more devotees, he expanded. Anyway, by 1976, this Radha Damodar party increased to six buses. We had six Greyhound buses, and each bus had about maybe like, I don't know, 25 devotees, I want to say, because altogether there was 140 devotees on Radha Damodar. So 140 divided by 6, whatever that is, maybe 25 like that. And, you know, the buses had, we had like a, there was a bus leader, we had Gornatai Didis on the bus, so there was a pujari, there was a cook, there was a driver, and then everybody else was just book distributors. And attached to the, it was like a you know, military thing, it was like, well, like an army. Attached to each bus were like two, three, or four vans. You see, and so the or car, you know, and the devotees would go out. We would travel, you know, sort of out to different places, and we would meet up with the Greyhound bus, which was converted into a temple either once a week or once every 2 weeks in a big state park someplace. Anyway, so getting to the point, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he was very clever. He was very competitive, and he was very clever. So he wanted to win the marathon in 1976. So what he had us do was, you know, for months we were distributing books, but we wouldn't give out a book, you know, until we had collected, like, at first it was like $7 or $8. Then we would be told by our van leader what we could do. Then every $13 or $14 we could give somebody a book. Then it was like every $27 that you collect you could give somebody a book. But what was going on was he was stockpiling the books. You know, he calculated you know, from the previous marathons, how many books he would have to distribute in order to beat the L.A. Temple, New Dwarka, and beat Chicago, and beat, you know, Jayatirtha Prabhu, who was in charge of, you know, London at that time. He wanted to beat everybody. So he, you know, he calculated from the scores from the previous year how many books would have to be distributed, and he had all those stockpiled. So when the marathon came around, this is actually history. This actually happened. So when the marathon came around, all of a sudden, Radhadamara started, like, the book started flying. You know, he told us, you can give a book out to anybody who wants one. You know, anybody who gives a donation. First it was anybody who gives a donation. Then it was anybody who wants one. And so we were letting the books fly. And what happened was the other zones caught wind of what we were doing. You know, how we were doing like that. Because up to that point, pretty much everybody distributed according to the formula of double the BBT. It was kind of like an unspoken, you know, like, rule that's how you did it. That was book distribution. Basically, you know, you tried to get double the BBT. Maybe you didn't get quite that, but that was always how you did it. So here we were just breaking all the rules as far as everybody else was concerned. We were just letting them fly. And they went and complained to Prabhupada. And let me see, I think I even got it here, what Prabhupada's response was. It doesn't give the whole story, but there is a quote. So they presented to Prabhupada, they all complained. Prabhupada, Radha Damodar, they're not, you know, distributing at double the BBT. You know, they're just giving the books out very, you know, cheaply like that. Even people don't give an appropriate donation or any donation at all. And then Prabhupada asked him, he says, are they paying the BBT for the books? You know, is the BBT being paid for the books? And Ramaswar, who was the BBT trustee at that time in Los Angeles, said, he affirmed that, yeah, they were. Then Prabhupada said, the temples must pay the cost of printing, then they may sell for whatever price they like. So that was how that conflict was resolved. Then, you know, in other words, it was okay. And, Tamil Krishnamurti's, the Radhadamara, won the marathon like that. So to answer your question, that, just make it easy. If you want to encourage Grihasthas, or just make it easy. Some people are, they want that challenge, you know, to go out there and try to get a donation. And other people, they don't want that. So just, you know, if you can't, if you see the person's mood is that they want to do it, but they don't want to be in anxiety or have something too difficult, get the book subsidized. This shouldn't be a problem, you know. Vijay was mentioning so many different programs yesterday, so many different ways to distribute books. He mentioned about Shastra Dan. Basically, Shastra Dan is people subsidize the book distribution. It shouldn't be a difficult thing to do. You know, if you're the Sankirtan leader in a particular place, you know, you just ask some other devotees, hey, you know, we have this program now. I have these devotees who want to go out. I want to make it pleasant for them. I want it to be a good experience for them. Would you consider, you know, sponsoring a box of Bhagavad Gita's? Or would you, you know, or two or three or four, you know, whatever. It's not difficult. There's a lot of people in that category that they don't want to go out themselves, but they're, especially if you have a specific program and you can actually give them, you know, the name of the person who you're trying to train up and encourage like that. You'll get people to sponsor the books, and then, you know, then there's no pressure. Then they can just go out and they can be really relaxed and friendly. They don't have to worry about getting money from the people. To start off with, that can help a lot of people, you know, so make it real easy for them. So that's the main thing I would suggest. Just make it real easy for them by getting the book subsidized so they don't have to worry about getting a donation. That can come later on. This is a comment, right? You're just making a comment.
No, he gives them the book.
Yeah.
And then he goes, he calls him.
Oh, wow, you do that, huh? You give them the book, even when they say they don't have money.
Yeah.
And then you get their name and phone number or name and address.
Yeah, and then after a week, I go back to take the books. I tell them, if you have to keep the book, you have to give them the money. But if you read the books, you're not to pay me. When you forget it, I don't charge any money. But if you keep the books and give me money.
Oh.
So they gave me the money. Most of them out of so, 10, 7 people.
Oh, that's great. Wow. That's great. Amazing. Yeah, yeah. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that because I actually, even before you just raised your hand, I had it written down. There's one thing I had written down I forgot to talk about, this point about when the people say they have no money. I give them the book too. You know, one thing, when they say they have no money, I always use this expression. I said, don't worry, there's no minimum. You know, when I hear that, I don't take it to mean that they have, like, literally no money. I just take it to mean that what they're telling me is I don't have enough money to give you anything. So I always just, because you know, our books are nice, actually. You know, our books are impressive. Look, I'm just holding this one because it's a book. But, like, you know, if I take a hardcover Bhagavad Gita, if you go into a college bookstore, a hardcover Bhagavad Gita would sell for, like, minimum $25, maybe up to $50. I mean, our books are, you know, they're nicely done. And when people see one of our books, they think you want, you know, they think you want a good hunk of money. They don't realize we're prepared to practically accept anything, you know. So they get a little bit apprehensive. They get a little bit worried. This guy wants $20 for me or $40 from me, see. So whenever they tell me I don't have any money, I always say, don't worry, there's no minimum. I find that's a very good line, no minimum. I mean, and I spell it out for myself. That means you can get anything you like, anything that works for you, you know, and if you're interested, you can keep that book. You know, I say, we're not a business, we're not out here trying to sell, I just spell it out. I say, we're not out here trying to sell these books, trying to make money, we're just trying to share this with other people. We believe this is really valuable knowledge in these books. We, you know, the people who are distributing them have felt that they benefited from it in their own lives, and we just want to share it with other people. That's why we're out here trying to give you this book. So please just give anything you like to give. It's fine. Don't worry. You're not ripping me off. You're not depriving anybody else of a book. It's perfectly okay. Give anything that works for you, and you're welcome to keep the book. I go through a whole song and a dance like that, you know. And a lot of times people will, you know, they give something. And whatever they give, I give them that book. I don't change books on them, you know. I just let them have that book. And even sometimes if somebody has nothing, and they say, you know, I honestly don't have any money, but I'd really like to read the book. Give them the book. Yeah. And it's one thing. I think it's the correct thing to do as far as PR goes, because PR is really important. You know, we want people not just to, you know, take a book and give money. We want them to be happy about the whole thing. We want them to walk away feeling like, wow, that was a nice experience. You know, I met this nice person. I got the book. And who's a nice person? I can't wait to read this thing, you know. So we wanted to walk away feeling like that. And the last thing is that. So I've been doing that for a long time now. And once again, the other day, you know, and fortunately, in New Dwarka, we have a devotee. His name is Mayapur Shashi. He's been compiling the North American Sankirtan newsletter for, I think, since 1975. So he's pushing 35 years of doing it, and he's very efficient. He's our temple treasurer, and he does that this service as well, and he keeps very good records, you know, of the book distribution scores. So by his mercy, I have like a very nice, I print out of all my scores since I went to New Dwarka. So I calculated the other day, you know, just for the whole time I've been in the Dwarka, I've been distributing at 43% profit. In other words, I sell the books. Ideally, you're supposed to sell a double the BBT, but I haven't been able to do that. I sell the books. I do $100 worth of books. I get $143 for that. And that's doing it like I just told you. You see, I'm not trying to, like, you know, kind of twist people's arm to get more money from them, or I'm just letting them go. I'm letting people have it, whoever wants it, for whatever they're willing to give, and that's what I'm winding up, 43% profit. So the point I'm making is that, you know, don't worry, just Krishna's not a poor man. I think Prabhupada said that. So just the idea is just go out there in good consciousness, you know, just try to work hard to share this invaluable knowledge with other people, and Krishna will supply sufficient Lakshmi. And I'm sure, you know, I've experienced this so often, I'm sure Vijay has, and probably other devotees who are distributing. So often, a lot of times you give somebody a book, you know, they don't give a proper donation, but they really wanted it or something like that. And then somebody else comes along and, you know, they more than make up for it, the next person, or, you know, later on in the day. It always happens like that. So we don't have to worry, you know, about the money. Actually, Bhakti Sanatana Raj, Prabhupada's spiritual master, said, you know, don't worry about money. So just, you know, just just be concerned about preaching and then money will come. So that's, you know, that's a good meditation. We don't have to worry about that. Just be concerned to get the books out, you know, distribute the books in a nice way to people who really want them, you know, encourage people to read them, and the money will come. It'll be there by Krishna's arrangement. Krishna will send the Lakshmi. That's been my experience, and I'm sure that's Vijay's experience, and I think that's the way to go as far as that's the, you know, that's the proper attitude as far as that goes.
One, they are interested in this book. The next time you go, it is easy to give another book. And also they tell their friends, say, this person is coming, he has a nice book. See, they also help you distribute your books to others also, their colleagues, their office members.
You have to
first time it's difficult. They say they don't have money, but they don't even have money, but they're not interested. But if they get a chance to read and they get interested, then things become easy.
Can you kind of, I caught about 50% of that. Can you help me, Parameshwar? Did you understand what he said?
Once you take one book, then it's easy to get them to take another book and another book. Right? And then their friends will be interested also. Both office workers, more office workers will take. So you make the point, once you get it in, and you can milk it for all it's worth by having their friends take them or that person will take one book.
Yeah, sounds like you're doing a kind of sankirtan that I don't really do very much. I mean, I'm mostly out on the street, so I'm just dealing with people, you know, one-on-one and people who I'll never see again. But, yeah, it sounds like very good the way you're doing it.
This man has come not for money, he has come for books. You want to take a book, you take. He will give you money there, so it helps.
I couldn't get it again. I might need a hearing yet. I don't know, but, you know, I'm not having trouble.
It's basically, if he has the mood, it's this person's, he has a reputation of people who are interested, I mean, he's not interested in money, he's interested in distributing knowledge.
Yeah, that's the idea. You want to say something about that? Yes, that's okay.
And that's attractive to friends, and the friends, if you tell the friends about that, so that they're also interested in just by that.
You know, everybody's always trying to get money from everybody else. That's the material world. Prabhupada said, I pick your pocket, you pick mine. But when they can get the feeling that, hey, this guy's not after my money. He really wants me to, he wants to share this with me. He wants to give me this knowledge. And, you know, of course he needs something for it. It's a beautiful book. It's obviously expensive. Okay, I'll give him something. This is, so it's, we really want to, you know, get that, communicate that to people that we're not after your money. We want you. We want to share this knowledge with you. Okay.
So yeah, Srila Prabhupada, he many times said that that generally the Indians, they go as beggars, but I'm not here to beg, but I'm to give. So the whole mood of the Sankirtan devotee is also to give Krishna consciousness to others, you know, rather than just trying to get a big result from them. You know, sometimes we get so much absorbed in the result, trying to get money. You look at the people like walking wallets or something, you know, just trying to get their money. You know? So we should try to have this compassion of trying to give them Krishna consciousness. And like Bhakta Mike said yesterday, we should actually try to please Krishna. Prabhupada, I was just reading today, Prabhupada said that if you love someone, if you love Krishna, then naturally you'll want to glorify him. So this is what we want to do. Book distribution means that we're trying to glorify Krishna. This is wonderful qualities, his name, form, pastimes. So this is what book distribution is about. Not so much about taking. If Narayan is there, naturally Lakshmi will come. Yeah. But if some people, they just try to get Lakshmi without Narayan, it doesn't work. So we're trying to give Narayan, naturally Lakshmi will come. You have to have that. Prabhupada said if you distribute books, everything will come. No problem.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
I have a...
Yeah.
Yesterday I was talking to Prabhu. This school is a very highly potential area of purchase of Bhagavad Gita.
School?
At least Indian schools. Because this school, the parents who are admitting the students, they are looking for other than the academic syllabus. They are asking what are the ethical, moral, cultural values you are teaching to my children. So they are looking for, so all the schools kind of show their thing. They are just teaching a couple of shlokas of Bhagavad Gita. They send the children for the ISKCON Janmashtami contest. Almost in the South India, I am coming from Bangalore, they conduct the Janmashtami competitions. Schools also probably telling, we are telling the children for the university competition. It's gone. lot of children are enrolling. So this kind of awareness is there for Bhagavad Gita. They have to study something. So I approached some couple of schools and they immediately, one school administrator took the whole set of books. I had a price list, there were some 200 books totally, and he said one book can be in for library. So I just put it in the library. What are the students are interested, I will tell them to take. So this is the one area which we should focus our attention, concentration, the schools, the high schools, the schools, really the big. And the children, I gave an incident, I casually was talking to some children, 6th standard boys, maybe 10, maybe 10 years of age, 10, 11 years of age. Asked me who spoke Bhagavad Gita, he said I did not speak. So that's the kind of awareness, there is a very bad awareness at the school level. So management also knows they want to cultivate this at least Indian culture. They bring it to the kind of Indian culture, this Bhagavad Gita. Why not we focus our attention in the schools teaching?
Even in America now, there many of the schools are ordering Bhagavad Gitas from the BBT. So this is not only India, it's all over the world people are understanding the importance of Bhagavad Gita.
The other point I was asking for a dedicated website for the book distribution, something like booksdistribution.com or something like that.
There is one, distributebooks.com.
So I gone through some of the websites with the Marathon and I'm looking for realizations. Relation to the devotees, how they're distributing the books, and also relation to the people who have purchased the books with the pictures. Now the whole setup is www.krishna.com. It should be very large, not just some
couple of. What to do with your email, but a website.
Uh-huh.
Very large. The book distribution is a major field of activity of ISKCON. It should be very large variety.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, I guess we should work on that, yeah. Are you on the conference that I have? Book distribution, Nectar, BDN, are you on that conference?
Yeah.
Also, just a reminder, if anybody wants to get on, before I leave, just give me your email. And also, since I'm talking about tomorrow we're going to have the awards ceremony, book distribution awards ceremony. So I need 4 devotees to volunteer to just help me out on stage there. So after the, we're going to end pretty soon. We could just need 4 devotees. Actually, can we get some hands maybe? You got 4 devotees here? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, we got these 4 right here. Okay, thank you. Okay. Maru Mango.
Man walked up and he said, "Oh, I don't think I've got any money." I said, "Well, sir, just open up your wallet and say hello. Is anybody home?" He took out his wallet, took some time and said, "Hello, is anybody home?" "Oh, God, I got a donation for you." Yes,
just on the point of distributing the books on the merit of the book, this one devotee, Parameshwara, I think he could say it, but he uses a line, he says, "These are the original teachings of God." He says, "What's your actual line?" And this, the point I'm making is you could be so straightforward and that you can't, it's unbelievable, and people do take the books. What's your actual line?
It's the original writings. We don't make a religion out of it, it's a science. I say something like, using knowledge is the highest achievement. I guarantee you can't get any better than the world. It's your weapon, it's totally pure form.
Oh, you don't use the word God anymore? I thought you...
Only in the South.
Okay, only in the South. I know I say to people, when people, they look at, they ask me, who's that? They point to the picture of Prabhupada. And I say, well, this is a picture of the author. He's like the equivalent of the Dalai Lama in this tradition. He's in an unbroken chain of teachers that goes back 5,000 years to the original author, Krishna, the Supreme Person. And unlike this many editions of this book, and unlike authors of the other editions, he's not trying to put forward any of his own ideas. He's just representing the tradition. So he's just basically trying to communicate to you the same thing that was communicated by the original author. Now, I mean, I don't know how much more straightforward. I couldn't be more straightforward if I was. I'm trying to be, just say it as straightforward as I possibly can. And people, they're okay with that. They take the book. So I think we could be Just Prabhupada said, distribute the book on the merit of the book, and you can do that. I mean, you don't have to kind of go off on and say any weird things. As I mentioned yesterday, or the first day, I just show them the pictures and I explain the picture of karma, just, you know, straight and without trying to cover it up. I tell them, there's a man with a bull's head, and that's a bull with a man's head. This picture is showing how the roles get reversed, how the kind of things we do affect us in the future. And that's a pretty heavy-duty picture, but, you know, as I said, only one person in 100 kind of flinches. Most people just kind of, they just take it, and they, you know, they're okay with that. They think that, you know, they're getting some knowledge there. Then I show them changing bodies, and I say this, you know, this picture showing how the body, we're more than this, just this material body. Our body's always changing. The spirit soul remains the same, and it continues on to another body after the body's finished. You know, and people are taking, and oh, one thing, people take books just like that, and it really helps you, because, you know, all day long we're talking to people. So if you're saying some sort of, you know, something like, you know, we're feeding kids in Bangladesh. I mean, nobody says that anymore, but with, you know, back in the old days, that was something that we used to say. And, or if you're just saying something, some bogus sort of a thing, after a while you're going to start feeling like a used car salesman. You know, just because on the principle of hearing and chanting, you know, you're hearing what you're chanting, you see? So if you're using the philosophy, if you're, you know, if you're distributing the books by, you know, speaking the philosophy to them, all day long you're hearing the philosophy. You know, all day long you're hearing and chanting, as opposed to just kind of giving them some prajalpa. And it helps you a lot. That's another really important point on being able to distribute books for a long time. Because if you're out there, if you're not speaking Krishna Katha to the people or something pretty close, that's going to affect your consciousness after a while. You're going to start feeling like a used car salesman. And you're not going to be enlivened to do it. But if you go out there and you just actually, if you can use your intelligence, find a palatable way to do it, but try to be presenting the philosophy. You know, try to be presenting the philosophy, because then you're hearing and chanting, and rather than getting, you know, in mundane consciousness, you're just going to get more deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness as you continue to distribute. And then you'll be able, then you'll be enlivened to go out day after day, because it's, you know, it's just like any other spiritual activity. It's nitya nava nava. It's ever fresh and it's always increasing. So that's a very important point. Try to learn how to distribute the book on the merit of the book. And that was Prabhupada's instruction.
So just one other thing on the tomorrow's awards. Those four of you just be up there at the front. And then after about the program starts at 7:30. Jayapataka Swami will be speaking. Also, there's somebody, Gopal Krishna Maharaj will be speaking. And then there'll be awards given to the top temples and top book distributors in the world. So it should be nice. So is there any other thing? Any other question? Yes, Prabhu. Basilios. What Basilios?
When I distribute the book, I'm going to show them the Thoreau and Emerson quotes, and I talk about T.S. Eliot, and I tell them there's a famous song or poem in which God is seen in all things, and actually I've done the most than I ever did before when I preach some of the merits of the books and the people who read them, like Albert Einstein.
Yeah. Very good.
That helps a lot.
Yeah. Thank you.
And that quote was from critics, like reading the critics, what they say about the book.
Oh, yeah.
They use what they say people.
Very good. Yeah. This book is a poem of God. It helps you see God within all things.
That's one of the critics?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Very good. Thank you. Okay, I want to thank all of you very much for coming and participating in this seminar, and I hope this helps you increase your book distribution, increase your faith and determination to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
You can have a look at it. If you don't think you got it, then it's okay. Nobody was driving the car.
Oh, nobody was driving the car. You brought it to
pay for it. I paid it.
Oh, you paid?
Yeah.
Oh.
You want some
Oh, no, no, the award ceremony will be at the main stage, the big stage. Who's going? You, or somebody else? Who was it? You? Who was it? Was it him?
Yeah.
The main stage, 7:30, is the book distribution awards. So just at the towards the end, we're going to say, all right, now we're going to have the awards. That's when you guys jump up, and you're going to have, there's going to be garlands. You're going to give these to the swamis. I'll be there. So there'll be, you can do the garlands. Just give a garland to, I'll show you who to give to. And then there's going to be cakes. There'll be some prasadam. You can give the cake. Somebody, each of you, there's going to be four senior devotees there. Each of you give one. Each of them. And you give one to you give garlands, you give the cakes, the deity prizes, you give that to one senior devotee there, and you give me the certificates. Okay? So just come up there when it's time for the. Or even come a little earlier. 7:30 starts. Come at 7:15, and we'll just go over a little bit.
Morning or evening?
Evening. Or you can actually you could yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, thank you.